This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 816 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. After more than 80 days into the so-called ceasefire agreement signed in October 2025, Israel continues to kill and injure Palestinians across the Gaza Strip while bombing, shelling, and destroying areas across the vague yellow line, a line which is constantly moving further westwards. Israel is also still preventing the entry of shelters and basic supplies during brutal storms and freezing temperatures, while tents are flooded and partially destroyed buildings collapse on top of people. At least three Palestinians were injured when Israeli soldiers targeted the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza, with witnesses saying the attack happened in an area from which Israeli forces had withdrawn under the purported ceasefire agreement. Israel carried out an air raid on the eastern areas of Burej camp in central Gaza, as well as artillery shelling east of Rafah and in eastern parts of Gaza City. The Gaza government media office stated on Sunday that Israel has committed 969 violations of the ceasefire agreement in the past 80 days, resulting in 418 Palestinians killed and more than 1,100 wounded. Such violations include nearly 300 direct shooting incidents against civilians, 54 military incursions into residential areas, 455 bombings and targeted attacks on Palestinians, and more than 160 bombings of homes, institutions, and other civilian buildings. Quote, the Gaza Strip is facing a slow death as the occupation continues to evade its obligations under the agreement and humanitarian protocols. It has failed to deliver even the minimum agreed-upon amounts of aid, the media office said, adding that Israel's ongoing refusal to let in the necessary quantities of food, medicine, water, and fuel is deepening the catastrophic humanitarian crisis. Only 42% of the expected humanitarian aid has been allowed in, while only 10% of the needed fuel trucks have entered, leaving hospitals, bakeries, and water and sanitation facilities unable to operate. The media office reiterated its previous warnings about the deepening, deliberate crisis for Palestinians during the winter months as Israel prevents the entry of prefabricated caravans and shelter materials, which remain just kilometers away on the other side of the crossings. Quote, we emphasize that the continuation of these violations constitutes a dangerous circumvention of the ceasefire and an attempt to impose a humanitarian equation based on subjugation, starvation, and extortion, the media office stated, adding that we hold the Israeli occupation fully responsible for the ongoing deterioration of the humanitarian situation and for the lives lost and property destroyed during a period when a complete and sustainable ceasefire is supposed to be in place. The illegal Israeli blockade and ban on the entry of temporary housing units have effectively eliminated all options for thousands of families, forcing them to remain in destroyed or severely damaged homes that have become time bombs liable to collapse at any moment, said Euromed Human Rights Monitor this week. The human rights group stated that, quote, Israel is using the blockade as a tool of genocide and the creation of deadly living conditions by blocking reconstruction and repair, preventing the entry of materials and equipment needed to clear rubble and restore homes, water and sanitation systems, and electricity networks, and by obstructing humanitarian response efforts and undermining relief agencies' ability to provide even minimal protection. As a result, Euromed added, civilians are forced to choose between remaining in dilapidated buildings on the verge of collapse or sheltering in fragile tents that offer no protection from winter cold or rain. Mahmoud Bassal, the spokesperson for Gaza's civil defense, said that a recent storm coupled with Israel's deprivation of basic shelter materials killed at least two more Palestinians this week, including a woman who was killed when a weakened wall collapsed on top of her, and a seven-year-old child who fell into a water well and drowned during heavy rainfall. Quote, "We are living in a catastrophic reality created by this genocide on Gaza, where there is no infrastructure, no safe areas, and no areas suitable for living," Basel stated. He said Palestinians have known neither rest nor safety since the start of the genocide, and that without the restoration of basic services and life-sustaining infrastructure, more people will die in the days ahead. In another statement, Basel said on Monday that at least 18 buildings have completely collapsed, resulting in significant human and material losses, and more than 110 residential buildings have partially collapsed, posing a direct threat to the lives of thousands of residents living inside or near them. The civil defense spokesman emphasized that, quote, "tents have proven completely ineffective in the Gaza Strip, offering no protection from the cold or rain, and are no longer a viable humanitarian solution under these harsh conditions." Reporter Badr Tabash recorded footage of seawater flooding a tent camp in Mawasi Khan Yunis on Sunday, submerging shelters and destroying what little belongings families have left. Tabash recorded another video of the flooding, which was highlighted by the social media collective Translating Palestine, who added, quote, "For thousands forced to live meters from the shoreline after being expelled from their homes, the sea has become another threat, exposing how displacement sites offer no protection from weather, flooding, or basic risks to life. Still, the U.S. and the Israeli occupation continue to block all forms of shelter from entering the Strip." That's from reporter Badr Tabash over the weekend. Gaza's civil defense says that 25 Palestinians, including six children, have died due to the extreme cold and lack of proper shelters, including building collapses since the start of the winter season. On Monday, a two-month-old baby, Arkan Firas Musleh, was the latest infant to die as a result of the extreme cold, Al Jazeera reported. Gaza's Ministry of Health also announced the death of a Palestinian man when a building collapsed onto a tent in the Tel al-Hawa neighborhood of Gaza City on Monday. Four out of every five children in Gaza will enter the new year still facing crisis levels of hunger, despite the agreement by Israeli authorities 2 months ago to allow more aid in, including food, according to the international charity Save the Children, following the recent release of new data on hunger and malnutrition. The Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, the leading international authority on the severity of hunger crises, published a new report warning that 1.6 million people in Gaza, or 77% of the population, including about 800,000 children, will continue facing acute food insecurity into 2026, especially since Israel continues to prevent the entry of dairy, meat, eggs, fish, and fresh produce into Gaza markets. Ahmed Al-Handawi, a regional director for Save the Children, stated, quote, "As the year draws to a close and some people start to sit back, do not be fooled into thinking the suffering in Gaza is over. Far from it. Hunger and malnutrition bring multiple physical harms to children's bodies. But the impacts are not just short-term. We know from experience that for any community, widespread malnutrition has lifelong consequences for people, from underweight newborns and stunted growth in early childhood to reduced learning and earning potential later in life, perpetuating cycles of poverty. As well as inflicting harm on individuals, these are consequences that threaten the very fabric of Palestinian society for generations to come." Al-Handawi added that, quote, "Gaza cannot become a dumping ground for the worst of humanity. These are ordinary children and families who just want to pick up their lives after years of horror. But day after day, a safe and healthy future gets further out of reach." Because of Israel's blockade on fuel, medical staff at Al-Awda Hospital in Nuseirat refugee camp in central Gaza reported that electricity was out for at least 2 days this week, forcing all departments to shut down, putting patients at serious risk. Journalist Anwar Abuslehe, reporting from the darkened hospital, recorded himself on December 27th, saying that the crisis left the intensive care unit, the radiology department, operating rooms, and emergency reception out of service. He said that the hospital's director, Dr. Rifat Al-Majdalawi, highlighted the crisis particularly for pregnant women, as Al-Awda is the only medical facility in central Gaza that can provide maternity and delivery services. And it has been 1 year since the director of Kam Al-Adwan Hospital, the pediatrician Dr. Hossam Abu Safiya, was abducted by Israeli forces from the facility and since subjected to systematic torture inside Israeli detention camps. He was taken hostage after the army besieged and bombed the hospital, targeted and killed his child, shot him with a quadcopter drone while he was attending to patients, and destroyed the hospital over and over again. Since his abduction on December 27, 2024, Dr. Hossam Abu Safiya has been held in Israeli torture prisons under the designation of unlawful combatant, a draconian classification that allows indefinite detention without charge or trial. In October, as we reported at the time, Dr. Abu Safiya's lawyer confirmed that an Israeli court rubber-stamped the extension of his arbitrary detention for 6 months, or until April 2026. He has been systematically beaten, tortured, denied medical attention, and has been subjected to deliberate starvation, losing 40 kilograms of his body weight, according to his legal team. Dr. Abu Safiya's family has been regularly posting updates on his plight and his deteriorating health condition. This week, marking 1 year of the doctor's brutal captivity, his family posted the following statement. In this white coat, he walked alone amidst death, destruction, and in front of tanks, not because he was fearless, but because his oath and his humanity were greater than any fear. He refused to abandon the children and the wounded at the hospital, and for that, he was detained. This image is a testament to the courage of the man who was the last line of defense for life, and it is the very same scene that ended with his unjust arrest. A full year of injustice has passed. Today, we ask for nothing but his freedom. Please share his story to keep his voice alive, Dr. Hossam Abu Safiya's family stated. On Monday, the Qassam Brigades officially announced that their longtime spokesman, Hudhaifa Samir Abdallah al-Kahlout, who used the nom de guerre Abu Obeida, had been killed along with his wife and children in an Israeli attack on his home in August. One son, Ibrahim, is reportedly the only one who survived. A new spokesman, who adopted the same moniker of Abu Obeida, made the announcement on Monday. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight Gutted Gaza Buildings, a Last Resort for Families Seeking Shelter by Huda Skake, writing from Gaza. Around Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, entire structures and buildings lean at sharp angles, their floors and ceilings sagging as if melting, and staircases hang in midair. These rain-soaked ruins are not fit for habitation. They are so unstable that one gust of wind or a night of heavy rain could bring them down. Yet displaced people are living inside them due to a lack of tents and available space at shelters across Gaza. I went to schools and shelters, but no one accepted us, Sumaya Nabhan, 32, said. There was simply no space. I have an injured husband and three children. If I had a tent, even if it meant living in the street, I would choose it over this building. Before the genocide, Nabhan and her family lived in a modest, single-room home in the northern Gaza Strip area of Tal el-Zatar, but that home was destroyed by Israeli strikes. For the past 7 months, they have squatted in this tilted building in Al Rimal neighborhood, which lists so heavily to the right that visitors instinctively brace their bodies against the slope. Even the tea kettle is tilted, Nabhan said. Nabhan and her husband cleared just enough rubble to squeeze inside the building, but the roof leaks like an open pipe whenever it rains, and stray dogs wander in at night. I stay awake all night guarding my children from the dogs, she said. What does this house mean to me? She said. Shelter. Nothing in life matters more, not even food. Social media users and news outlets have documented numerous buildings collapsing in Gaza and Palestinians being trapped under the rubble of buildings that, damaged by Israeli strikes, have subsequently collapsed under winter rain. Sumaya Nabhan said the danger of living in such a structure haunts her, yet her housing options are severely limited, as 81% of all the structures in Gaza are damaged as of October 2025, according to UN analysis of satellite imagery. I live with sadness and despair, she said. Sometimes I wish for death rather than this. Her only dream now is a closed tent. I feel like I'm living somewhere unfit for humans, she said. Islam Al-Faram, 37, has pitched a tent on what used to be the front yard of her home, in between two partially collapsed structures that lean at dangerous angles. Stones fall from them, she said of the neighboring buildings. Today, stones fell on us because of the rain. Al-Faram and her husband cleared the rubble from their old home in Al-Rimal until they could erect tarps where the yard once was. They decided to stay here because this was their home, even if only the ground beneath it remains. This place holds our memories, she said. Even if we're in a tent, it feels like part of our soul is still here. Those are excerpts from Gutted Gaza Buildings, A Last Resort for Families Seeking Shelter by Huda Skaik, writing from Gaza on electronicintifada.net. And now, as we always do, we wanted to highlight people expressing joy, determination, and resilience across Gaza and around the world. Despite 27 months of an ongoing genocide, the graduating class of a new cadre of doctors stood together in celebration after passing their board exams in front of one of the burned-out buildings of Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City last week. The Ministry of Health in Gaza said that these doctors are part of the Shield of Humanity cohort and stated, quote, despite the genocide, you are the cure. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.